Well, there's a passage I want to think about. 9 years ago, I was prosecuted for having timber stored on my daughter's land without a permit. And this week, I had my DBS renewed, and it came through the post, and there it is, my criminal record and the date of these environmental offences for having timber stored without a permit. And after the court case 9 years ago, I rang the local council who had prosecuted me, and I asked, well, how can I get a permit? No idea, mate, they said. Marvellous. Well, in this psalm, here's a man, he's in trouble. He's in big trouble. He feels it. He feels, and he says, I'm out of my depth. Out of the depths I cry, Lord, are you hearing? Please hear me. I need help. Listen to my cry for mercy. Please listen. I'm in real bother. I am desperate. That's basically what he's saying. Why is he desperate? We don't know for certain. But there are two truths in the psalm which we definitely do know. Number one, that God forgives. Number two, this forgiveness is so important because if God still has a record of your sins, like the criminal record that I keep having all the time sent to me, if God still has a record of your sins on file, you've had it. You're on your way to where everybody belongs by right, and that's hell. But there's the miracle. The same God who will rightly send people to hell is willing to forgive. There's the miracle. The God who created everything out of nothing. That God. He didn't rejig what was already there. He didn't reorganize what was there. He didn't refurbish. He didn't make something beautiful out of scrap material like one of those makeover programs on TV. He just spoke. He didn't bring the rabbit out of the hat. There was no rabbit. There was no hat. He just spoke and everything was. And it was all good. But it's not good now, is it? It's not good now. I read last week that in UK, there are 1,000 violent acts every day. In our land, an average of 14 suicides a day in our land. We've seen a spate of these youngsters in the university in Bristol there, suicides. And somebody wrote this, our youngsters are the best entertained generation ever and the most depressed ever. And yet, in a recent survey, 98% of us think we're better than average. How ridiculous is that? Yeah, it was all good once when God created, but it's not good now. I listened to Jeremy Vine's show one lunchtime last week, I think it was, and this guy was on, and he was saying, we're the most generous country in the world, UK, in giving to charity. We're the most generous country in the world. And Jeremy Vine rightly said to him, that may well be, but we're not very generous, are we? It's just compared to other people. And here's the miracle. God has done something. God's done something that we can be forgiven. Something so amazing that even though I can't deserve heaven in a million years, I can enter heaven. He's done something. I listened this week and I've analysed, I've read the sermon that the bishop preached at Meghan and Harry's wedding. There was lots about love. And there were a few mentions of Jesus. And how amazing love is that it can change the world. So regarding biblical truth, and the salvation message of the Bible, the bishop certainly put one or two pieces of the salvation jigsaw on the board. But unfortunately, the most important pieces were missing. Forgiveness of sins didn't get a mention. The big truth that we need forgiveness, because if God's got a record of our sins, we're in trouble. Didn't get a mention. The fact that all my sin is not just against you, but against God. I've ignored him. He's spoken, and I have blanked him. I have snubbed him. The old tinker, John Bunyan, said that sin was the rape of God's mercy. Now that puts it in perspective. And God has not forgotten my sins. He has a record of them. Unless I cry out to him for mercy and trust his son, and then he will wipe them away. He'll wipe the slate clean. But if I haven't asked him to do that, then he hasn't wiped them away. If I haven't asked him, let me just, I was thinking of illustrations from my own life, my own selfish life. And this is the only one I thought, I could pick hundreds. But going back now, when I was a teenager in school, there was a girl a year ahead of me. I knew she liked me. I knew she fancied me. But there were other girls I liked more. And the girl I was going out with at the time, I liked more, who happened to be a friend of this girl, as it happened, which was difficult. But you would say, oh, well, there we are. That's the way it is. She liked you, but there we are. You didn't like her. But the thing was, I hurt her. I was cruel to her. Worse than that, it didn't bother me that I was cruel to her. Anyway, we fast forward then, about 5 or 6 years. I was a young teacher, single bloke. I was in a dance or a nightclub. I can't remember exactly where. And when I went in, I noticed that. I thought, well, I'm not going to look at her. I'm certainly not going to try and speak to her because she won't have forgotten how I treated her. She can't have forgotten, surely. So the night was going on, and I was with some blokes and drinking and messing about. And regretting my actions, but for selfish reasons. Because when I did have a sneak look across, I thought, she looks good, mind. What were you doing, you stupid boy? But then she came over. She said, want to dance, Al? So I danced with her, and she said, let's have another dance. And I was starting to think, perhaps it wasn't so bad what I did, man. Perhaps I wasn't. Perhaps it was all right, really. Perhaps she's forgotten. So then I said to her, can I walk you home? That was the old thing years ago. Can I walk you home? Can I walk you home? Hang on, she said, my handbag's over there. So I followed her. She went to get her handbag. And as she picked her handbag up, she said in a loud voice, pointing at this guy sitting there, Alan, meet my fiance. And she stared me in the eye, and we both knew this was payback. I was humiliated. I stood there. I felt a real prune, a lemon. And I was angry. But I knew she was right. She was right. This was payback. I deserved it. She hadn't forgotten. She kept a record. Maybe she'd been planning it for years. I don't know. I read Psalm 139 this week, where the guy says, where can I escape you? Where can I flee from your spirit, Lord? If I climb up there, you're there. If I go down to the depths, you're there. If I go into the pitch darkness, actually, it's not dark to you. You don't need infrared goggles. You see me. Where can I go? You know when I sit down. You know when I stand up. You know when I sleep. You know when I eat my breakfast. You know every pound I've spent, every word I've said, every thought. Can you imagine that? Every thought he knows. He knows what you're thinking right now. Have you ever pondered that? Have you ever stopped and thought, whoa, I need to think? You know, some of you know, years ago when I started to learn sign language over in the Phoenix, when it was time to come out for a fag, as two ladies came out for a fag, and when I had introduced myself and said, I'm a preacher, which was the sign, and one of them said, I'm an atheist, I thought I got to talk to her when it's fag time now. So I came past, and there was her and her mate, and I just said, I was interested because I used to be an atheist, see? And she said, why did you change? And I started to tell her, I said, there came a time when I realized I needed to be forgiven. And straight away, not the atheist, but the other girl with her said, the other lady with her said, hey, I've done some things too. Haven't we all? Haven't you done some things? Do I need to trawl through your life to show you the things that you've done that have grieved God? You know, in the 1920s, in Belfast, there was a ship, a labourer in the shipworks called Nicholson, and he was converted to Christ. He'd been a typical bawdy fella, he'd been converted. And he started to tell his mates, I'm forgiven all my sins. And here and there, then, one or two of them, they got saved as well. And they started to tell their mates. And after about 18 months of this, his boss called him in and said, WP, Nicholson, WP, will you stop telling your mates about Jesus all the time? And he said, why? You know, the boss said, we've had to build two huge sheds to store all the stolen stuff they bring him back. The point was what? these fellas, they were so thrilled. Their sins had been forgiven. They were so over the moon. They were doing all they could to restore, to bring the stuff back. Because they knew when they stood before God, their record was clean. It was the most amazing thing. All the stuff they pinched, they were bringing back because they knew something amazing had happened. Not just sentimental words vaguely about love and Jesus, but they knew the slate was clean. What about you? When was the last time you felt guilty? Have you ever felt really guilty? Have you ever felt guilty and hoped, wished that somehow that could be taken away? Haven't you? Some of you remember the story of a guy in the 1950s. He was a very wealthy man. He bought a brand new Rolls Royce Silver Cloud and decided then he'd go on the ferry to France. He was driving through France. He's only had it now a few days and it breaks down. So he rings from France to London, Rolls Royce. They say, "What, a new Rolls Royce has broken down, sir?" "Yes, we'll fly a mechanic out, sir." So they fly this fella out and he fixes it. And the guy enjoys his 3 or 4 weeks driving around France. And then when he gets back to UK, he goes to the head office of Rolls Royce and he says, "I just want to say thank you very much because my holiday would have been ruined. Thank you very much." "Thank us for what, sir?" "Well, you know, I had a new Rolls Royce. You must have a record where you flew a mechanic out to fix my brand new Rolls Royce Silver Cloud." "What, a Rolls Royce breaking down, sir?" "You have no record of that, sir. Rolls Royce breaking down." Does God have a record of his sins this morning? Either he has, or he's wiped it clean. It's that simple. I'm forgiven you. I'm a sinner. I'm probably worse than all of you. Perhaps worse than all of you put together. But I'm forgiven because of Jesus Christ. Don't you want to be clean? When an old mate of mine from years ago, when I preached at his father's funeral, I went to see him the following day, and for 2 hours I explained the gospel, and he was feeling guilty. His father just died. You know, all the thoughts go round, if I only I'd done this. He was feeling guilty, and as I went out to the car to drive back from where he lived, he put his hand on my shoulder, and he bowed his head, and he said, oh, I wish I could believe. I said, it's not wishing, man. It's not Peter Pan stuff. Do you see your guilt? Yes. Well, turn to him then. There's no wishing involved. What I didn't know that day, and what my friend Chris didn't know, was I'd never see him again. A heart attack, died. But there was a tremendous opportunity then for the slate to be wiped clean. Are you clean? Are you clean? Not because you're good, you're not good. But are you clean because Jesus Christ, as we have heard hundreds of times in this church and even this morning, died on the cross and all my sin was dumped upon him. Is that it? Wonderful, man. Have you got a clean slate this morning? Amen.
Let's sing about the cross.